This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
From an Islamic perspective, if a sheikh, a scholar, a known person, a Muslim personality is accused of crimes, even like serious crimes, how do we go about it? What's our emotions? What's our thoughts? What should our actions be in light of the Sharia?
Yeah, Jazakallah khair, very good. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Let me mention certain principles that need to be applied in such situations. I'm not talking about a particular incident or a particular individual. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is quite important. But we need, see, if something like this happens, the people who should be involved are the people of knowledge who have the Islamic background, how to deal with this matter, then they can customize those principles on certain incidents. But to jump to talk about certain incident without that background, I'm afraid that this will be, those people will be included in what Allah Jalla wa Ala condemned in the Quran. وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, to talk about something related to Islam and you don't have a proper knowledge about it.
So okay. Even, sorry to interrupt, even off the bat, that's something, an Islamic norm that we have to think about. The fact that you're not even mentioning someone's name because...
This is part of the etiquette.
Okay.
And let me mention some of the points that came to my mind regarding such allegations. First of all, the first important point, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to know what does Allah Jalla wa Ala want from us at that point. Mm. What are the commandments of Allah Jalla wa Ala regarding that? We all quote what Allah Jalla wa Ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Don't suggest something that Islam should be this and that without the proper knowledge. Allah Jalla wa Ala equated saying something without knowledge, equated it with grave sins, وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, including shirk, to say something about Sharia that you don't have solid knowledge about it. So, this is the first principle. We need to know what are the Sharia guidelines. What does Allah Jalla wa Ala want from us at that moment? Okay, this is number one. Number two, okay, let us, subhanAllah, the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is enough for the guidelines of the entire ummah irrespective of space and time. Quran and Sunnah, of course. And the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ is rich with incidents that we can use them as a reference point in so many things, political, economical, social, etc., and also including such things. We all know, we are aware of the incident of the insult of Aisha or the hadithat al-ifk against Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the accusations that were thrown by some of the companions against Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now, Allah Jalla wa Ala mentioned this incident in Surah An-Nur. And then Allah Jalla wa Ala mentioned in the beginning certain guidelines in the beginning of Surah An-Nur, Surah Anzalnaha wa Fartnaha wa Anzalna fi ayatin bayyinat, to lay down certain principles. And then Allah Jalla wa Ala started to speak about Hadithat al-Ifk in Hadithat al-Ifk directly. And Allah Jalla wa Ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Look what Allah Jalla wa Ala said in the beginning. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. What does it mean? Allah Jalla wa Ala said, had you heard about it, you should respond, the first response should be, Subhanak, Sorry, the first response is ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. The believers should think good of themselves. We should not jump to accuse, to believe the accusations. Maybe the accusations are true, but immediately we who are away from that accusation, we should not jump and believe in the accusation.
It's like a almost like a personality issue as well. Some people, I don't know, it's really comforting to see some people almost jump to the opposite. They would love, almost as though they love to see someone fail or someone be
exactly
guilty of something.
This like is this kind of personality that, yeah, issue. That's why you see. But this point, which is ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا, subhanAllah, has deep philosophical and psychological meanings, which is what? Put like a psychological and emotional even barrier between you and the bad news. And don't jump into the bad news. And don't, as you said, don't wish as if others have committed this, as if you are celebrating, astaghfirullah, that other Muslims committed this crime. So you should think goodness of yourself. And by the way, this, although we are not saying that Muslims don't do that, imams don't do that, sheikhs don't do that, no. But the thing that if you make yourself as a sponge, and your mind and heart, like a sponge, accept any accusation, you will have no trust with others. And that's why now some people are saying, now we should not accept, we should not trust imams anymore, we should not trust teachers anymore, etc., etc. Because they made themselves as a sponge, and they are ready to accept and believe any accusations. And later on, they will lose confidence in themselves and in others, because in the beginning, when they see anything that can be interpreted that it is a mistake, they immediately think or jump to the evil side of it. So this is the second point. The third point, we all know that in judiciary, yes, of course, Islamic judiciary to start with, and qadha judiciary in even non-Islamic systems, that that the person is innocent until it is proven, or he is or she is proven guilty. Now, we need to be careful. Sometimes some stories come out with some graphic, or graphics, and with some emotions, and people, they forget this important principle that it is innocent unless proven guilty. And because of those graphic or maybe those emotional elements of the story, they jump and believe. And they think that, by the way, they think that if you are reminding them with those principles, they think that you are what? Defending the criminals or defending the perpetrators. We are laying foundations how to deal with such matters. Okay, this
goes back to the time of the Prophet. This is al-bayyinatu 'ala al-mudda'i.
Exactly. Jazakallah khair.
We enjoy this today as a norm, but it wasn't always the case, you know, in the Western world, for example. But alhamdulillah, it's one of those things where.
So al-asl bara'at al-dhimma. Yeah, even the fuqaha. All the fuqaha, they said al-asl bara'at al-dhimma.
So this is, position is you have no liabilities, you're not
exactly
nothing's expected of you.
And this principle is applied across the board in Islamic jurisprudence and in qada. Of course, this doesn't mean, I will mention this, that you don't take precautions. But we are not talking about taking precautions. We will come to that, inshallah, when we talk about, مثلاً, interaction between both genders. Okay. Number four. Brothers and sisters. Yes. مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and we all know this hadith, it is in Arba'in Nawawi, etc. That it is part of your iman, part of your goodness, part of your good iman is what? Don't involve yourself in something that you are not, doesn't
concern you.
Doesn't concern you. Okay, some people started, to dig in, yeah, and to circulate information, and to ask people, have you heard of this? Have you heard of that? And no, the reality is this. If it is not your concern, then leave it. Don't circulate it.
It's easier said than done, Sheikh.
Exactly.
I mean, we know this theoretically, but there's something about you seeing some kind of news or something, people gossiping. It's like you feel like investigating more. Or
yes. Why is this? Why do you need to invest?
It goes viral on social media, and it's kind of...
Because, as we said, because it is not something that you, first of all, you said... What does Allah Jalla wa Ala? You ask yourself, what does Allah Jalla wa Ala want from me? You went with your emotions or with your desires, or maybe some people want more, more follow-up, more likes, etc. So that's why they started to talk about, or they start to talk about such things.
Yeah.
No, this is very dangerous. And brothers and sisters, we need to be careful. Al-asl as-satru ala al-muslim. Hada al-asl. Yeah? The Prophet ﷺ clearly said in Sahih al-Bukhari, "Man satara musliman, satarahu Allah fi dunya wal akhirah." And in another,
the one who conceals
Muslims, or a Muslim, Allah will conceal his mistakes in the dunya and in the akhirah. And on the other hand, the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who exposes the awrah of a Muslim, awrah here includes physical aura, non-physical aura, yeah?
Like the reputational damage.
Reputation is part of that. Allah Jalla wa Ala will expose his aura in dunya or in akhirah, in one of the narrations, even if the person is hiding in his own house. There was another narration. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam guided the companion. He said, why didn't you conceal the mistake of your brother? Okay, so we are saying, generally speaking, to do satr, concealing, to conceal the faults, mistakes of others. This is the asl, this is the original principle. This should be the norm of the Muslim Ummah. Now, I know what you will say. You will say that, what about those perpetrators who are doing it frequently?
Yeah.
Now, those, this is another important principle. If you know that this person is committing a crime, don't just circulate it to anyone. Go to the people of authority who will handle this matter. The first thing is, go to well-known imam, scholar, who is known, to keep things confidentially, in a confidential way. Because unfortunately, some imams, they are participating in this gossip, and they cannot keep things in confidentiality.
Yeah.
So you need to go to such wise people to ask them what to do about this matter. Yeah? Otherwise, you will be among the people who are participating in ifk. And look, Allah Jalla wa Ala, from Sharia perspective, if a person sees a person committing zina, committing zina, this person is not allowed, and maybe he will be punished from a Sharia perspective, a severe punishment, if he went around and started to
accuse him.
No. Because some people say accuse is the wrong word. Mm-hmm. If he conveyed what he has seen, I just saw this and that.
Yeah.
He will be punished if the perpetrator or the victim or anyone, took him to the court, and this person, it has been proven that he has been talking about what he has seen to people other than the people of authority, this person will be considered among those who يقذفوا, al-muhsanat. And this is one of the great sins. This is one of the big sins, and he will be punished. Okay, now some people will say, so what to do in this case? Go to the people of authority and talk to them. Now, in non-Muslim countries...
this include police, for example? Obviously, yeah, if somebody is like a victim...
Yeah, see, we are not talking about preventing a crime.
Yeah.
We are not talking about preventing a crime.
After it's already happened.
After it is already happened, okay. Or maybe two people did it consenting, something like this.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay. So, don't go and just talk about it to others. I have seen this and that. Mm-hmm. And there was an incident that Umar ibn al-Khattab was about to flog one of the companions because he claimed that he saw another companion committing zina. Yeah? So Umar ibn al-Khattab, or one of them is one of the tabi'in. Umar ibn al-Khattab was about to flog him. Okay, what to do in this case? As Allah Jalla wa'ala said, وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ So refer it to Allah and His Messenger and the people of knowledge, the people of authority, the people of wisdom who know what to do. Of course, they might say, well, the best thing is you just go to the police or maybe take certain precautions, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. But my key point is don't go around and circulate it because you will be participating in spreading rumors and you are actually committing a sin, not just a minor sin.
Sheikh, you actually touched on something really important that's not normal knowledge in the modern day, particularly in the Western world, and that is there's a difference between what happens in reality and what you're allowed to talk about.
Yani,
you as a person, you might see someone. I've known you mentioned this about, for example, married couples. If a woman sees her husband, he's doing kufr or something, or he disbelieves privately, she's not allowed to necessarily go and tell people he's a kafir. Or, there's a difference between what you know, like happened certainly, and what you're allowed to speak about publicly with regards to someone
else. Of course.
And this is something we don't really normally hear.
In the West, what you know or what you have seen, you will just enjoy talking about it to everyone.
We don't have any notion of due process.
Exactly. You don't differentiate between both.
Yeah.
Okay? And see,
what you're saying is, regardless of what the truth is, what reality happened in reality, what you're allowed to say about it publicly, Sharia, according to Sharia, is a different matter altogether.
Exactly. Mm. So what happened in reality, see, that's why I want to insist that these guidelines, we are talking about those guidelines to be observed, even what happened has actually happened.
For argument's sake.
Exactly. We are not talking about that, no, it is a lie. We are talking about, no, actually, it has happened. But there is an etiquette. There is an Islamic etiquette to deal with such matters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And more than just etiquette, like it's a ruling, you could be flogged.
Exactly, yes, exactly. Because of this. Here, okay, which is the next point, the point number 6. We differentiate between the person who is concealing his mistakes, and he is doing them in secret, and the person who is publicly, openly proud of his crimes, of his indecent actions, etc. No, these are two different people. Now, unfortunately, some of our communities, they believe that the person who is doing it in secret, he is a hypocrite. And they say, no, it is better that he does these things openly. No, this is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is not true. لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم. Allah Jalla wa Ala doesn't like indecency to be on public. Yeah?
Okay.
We are not talking about a hypocrite. hypocrite, there is a way to deal with the hypocrite. But we are talking about a person who has committed indecent action, a crime, and he is hiding it. Yeah? Mm-hmm. How to deal with this? Okay.
Sorry to interrupt, but the thing that I was going to say before was, and you preempted the thing of the question, what people have is, okay, precautions and so forth, and we'll talk about that. But in terms of the asl being satar, the default position being you conceal the faults or even crimes of a Muslim, and you don't pay attention to or investigate those things which don't concern you, none of your business. Some people might think, there might be like a social media fiqh here where, you know, people think if it's public already,
yeah,
there's public, you know, if the newspapers are talking about it, if the police have published something, okay, then it's public and everything goes well.
Even in this case, don't talk about it.
Mm.
The more you circulate it, the more you... ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. Don't talk about it.
And
the more you talk about it, and of course this is even worse.
Mm.
This is even worse. يوم تشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم بما كانوا يعملون. This is even worse. Brothers and sisters, I want to say that the honor of the Muslim is one of the preserved necessities of the human being. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hujjat al-Wada' said, إِنَّ أَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ Yeah? إِنَّ أَمْوَالَكُمْ إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا. The ird, the honor. Yes?
Reputation. The blood,
no,
the wealth,
especially, and sorry, especially the reputation linked to sexuality.
Mm.
Yeah? This Sharia gives utmost attention to that. By the way, okay, we are not defending anyone. We are talking about what? The guidelines. Because brothers and sisters, we don't want you to commit sins. Wallahi Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. Mm-hmm. And this is my next point, that brothers and sisters, yeah, when you talk about the matter, be careful. Don't come across as you are looking down at the perpetrator because of his ma'siyah. Yeah? Yes. Okay. He committed the ma'siyah. What you need to say, may Allah protect us from this ma'siyah. Yes? Don't look down at him. Don't mock him. Yes? Don't gloat over him.
Mm-hmm.
And the dalil for that, a man drunk alcohol at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they brought him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They flogged him, and the companions participated in hitting him. And then one of the companions said, "Akhzahullah." Yeah, akhzahullah. May Allah disgrace him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Don't be a helper of the shaitan against your brother." Yeah. Moreover, brothers and sisters, please, wallahi, I'm advising you from the bottom of my heart. Yeah? We are talking about a sinner who is concealing his sins, not who is proud of his sins. If a person committed a sin, and you know that this person committed a sin, even if it is an indecent act, yeah? Don't look down at him. Yes, don't look down at him. Don't mock him. I have so many stories of people confirming that they committed the same sin because they mocked someone when he what? When he committed a sin. And there is a hadith. Yeah, there is a hadith. Although it is a da'if hadith. من عير أخاه بذنب لم يمت حتى يقع فيه. The one who is gloating over a sin of a brother, he will not die before committing that sin. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala spoke a lot about this. And he said, maybe the person who committed the sin, maybe he will repent to Allah Jalla wa'ala. He will feel so sorry for the sin that he's committed. Maybe his nafs overpowered him. Yeah, and maybe Allah will forgive him. And you, the one who is proud of your son, proud of yourself, proud that you are not committing the sins and you are looking down at him, maybe you will be in the sight of Allah Jalla wa Ala, you are worse than the person who committed sin. Okay, this leads me to the other point. So what to do? Okay, what to say? So a person committed sin. First of all, brothers and sisters, first ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to protect you from this. Yeah? Instead of just jumping and attacking this person, how dare he does this? How dare, how on earth an imam will do something like this? Ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to protect you. Brothers and sisters, our hearts are between two fingers of Ar-Rahman, and they can be turned around. We have seen so many people who are people of da'wah, of practicing Islam, because of certain things, wallahi, they left the deen. We have to be worried about our iman, brothers and sisters, okay? And we need, so this is one thing. Ya Allah, protect us from this sin. Ya Allah, conceal our sins. Ya Allah, cover our mistakes. Ya Allah, pardon us. Ya Allah, don't expose our weaknesses, our sins. This is the attitude, my dear brothers and sisters. And then, which as I know, it is hard for some people, ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to make sitr and conceal the sins of this person. It's not good for the Muslim, one Muslim leader or imam, or to be exposed in front of the world that, look, an imam, he has committed this and that, and we are gloating over this, and we are just circulating it. This is not good. Okay? Say, Ya Allah, conceal this person. Ya Allah, protect this person. Ya Allah. And by the way, we are not talking about the perpetrator. We are talking about concealing both. Yes? Ya Allah, cover them both. Mm-hmm. Ya Allah, forgive them both. Because maybe both of them participated in the sin. Mm-hmm. Ya Allah, if there is an innocent person, a vulnerable person, Ya Allah, protect him from the consequences of what has happened. This should be our attitude, positive attitude, rather than dwelling in something that the shaitan will enjoy seeing it happen, mm-hmm. happening within the Muslim Ummah.
All of the things that you said, I think most people, when it comes to just normal sins, quote unquote normal sins, between them and Allah, they'll understand. I mean, there will be some people who just enjoy gossiping and spreading sins anyway. But like somebody's drinking alcohol, they're committing zina even, or, you know, all kinds of sins between them and Allah, or even between consenting people, it's easier to kind of understand that. But when there's potential zulm,
okay,
or oppression or injustice or allegations of harming individuals, like you mentioned the ayah, Allah doesn't like, you know, jahra. So if somebody is zulim, somebody has been oppressed,
okay,
is that like just like an open door then? They can talk about it publicly.
Okay, good. See. First of all, my dear brothers and sisters, when you hear anything in the news, mm-hmm. yeah, see, we know, unfortunately, that the news now, whether in Muslim countries and in non-Muslim countries, they are not what the right sources for information. Yeah? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu. We need to verify. And how to verify? In qada, we learned from Umar ibn al-Khattab and others a very important principle. Don't accuse someone before listening to his point of view. When there are two parties.
الكتاب عمر إلى أبو موسى
الأشعري. إلى أبي موسى الأشعري. Yes. He instructed clearly. In fact, he has a statement, a very beautiful statement. He said, if there are two victims, one of them came to you, he lost his eye. Don't say, what? Look. Yeah. The other guy poked his eye. Maybe this victim who is talking to you has what? Has taken out both eyes of the other side.
Mm.
Yeah? And moreover, I can tell you, but I don't want to make these stories, I can tell you of hundreds of stories Wallahi, when you hear one side, you will say, what is this? When you hear the other side, oh no, oh no, I never knew that the case is like this.
Particularly the first person you hear that has exactly a bigger impact.
Impact, emotional impact. Yeah. That's why I always say to people, if you know that you are an emotional person, you cannot be a judge. And you cannot be formally a judge. And don't involve yourself in judging people. Otherwise, you will commit sins. Mm. Yeah? Free yourself from this. And at the end of the day, we want to be bothered about ourselves. Yeah? قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Let us be bothered about what is really concerning us on the day of resurrection. Okay.
So even your emotions, I mean, even you as a, you have, you know, you're in tune with your emotions as an individual. But, and we notice when you talk about cases, you have to like turn off your emotions.
Exactly. Show, yeah,
like,
of course.
Cold.
Of
you course. Might come across as cold.
Of course.
Unempathetic. Unsympathetic. Don't even return salams.
Yes.
Or give salam to people, because when you're in that mode as a judge, as a qadi, then you have to be emotionless.
Yes.
You have to be exactly. cold. You have to be.
See, and this is, by the way, you mentioned a very important point. Yeah. Many people, yeah, especially our sisters, when they come to a qada setting, they have problems with their husbands. They are expecting from the qadi or the neutral person to show empathy, to sympathize with them. And if he doesn't show this, you immediately, yeah, feel that they are accusing him, no empathy, no sympathy, etc. No, here it is not a matter of sympathy. It is a matter of finding the facts in order to give the right judgment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's why even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yaqdi al-qadi wa huwa ghadban." The qadi, and any person who is in a position of giving judgment, he should not give a judgment while he is influenced by anything that will affect his emotional status.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whether anger, whether too much love, whether too much emotions, yeah? So he should avoid that, he or she should avoid that. Another important point here, which is, see, brothers and sisters, Islamic judgment and Islamic, whether the judgment itself, whether the procedure, whether the accusation, the whole thing, it has a certain threshold. The non-Islamic judiciary is far away from our threshold, yeah, as the Islamic qada. Now, don't imagine, brothers and sisters, that if there is any accusation within the non-Islamic judiciary, that it will stand in the Islamic judiciary.
Yeah.
And don't think that, yeah, no, facts were mentioned. You think that facts. Islamic judiciary has its way to, or its ways to investigate, to evaluate what has happened.
So that's one of the questions people have, actually, is that, okay, imagine somebody is accused of this crime. They go to the court in a non-Muslim country and they're found guilty. Does that mean now, okay, they're guilty, that Islamically we can say this person is a, you know, rapist or this or that?
Yeah, this is another point. I was going to come to that. If we are talking about that, we are talking about two different paradigms. Yeah? So if the person was, you know, convicted in a non-Islamic court about something, it doesn't mean that he is a perpetrator with the same thing in the Islamic court.
Because Islamically, you have to have a higher level of certainty.
A higher level of certainty, someone. Number one. Number two, the terms are different, okay?
Like, for example, in a non-Muslim court, even in difference, there's a difference between civil and criminal and so forth, and employment, like tribunals.
Yeah, yeah, like, there are so many.
The judge might say a balance of probabilities, just 1% in this way, okay, you won the case. Or in another, the higher threshold might be beyond reasonable doubt, you know. But Islamically, for example, for zina, you need eyewitnesses.
Yes.
Four eyewitnesses.
Four eyewitnesses.
Which is a very high,
threshold.
Threshold.
Yeah. Okay. And there are so many things. There are so many things that
but
from...
The follow-up question then, Sheikh, is, okay, we see that this, Islamically, there's a high level of certainty and the scrutiny when it comes to condemning someone, when it comes to convicting someone.
Yeah.
Because the asl, the default position of innocence is too strong to just easily be overturned. And it's much more watered down, it's easier to convict an innocent person in a non-Muslim country, for example. But does that mean, in the absence of this, that this has absolutely no value? Is there like an immediate medium, like when it comes to...
Of course, the cases are different, but we are talking here about the general guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, one thing that is really astonishing in one of the incidents that took place in America, that the information were revealed before even the court hearing. Yeah, I don't know how is that from a judiciary perspective. Can you reveal certain information, allegations that can destroy a person's life, before even confirming it through the court? This is something that shows the difference between the Islamic judiciary and the non-Islamic one. I want also to mention another important point, which is we said that there is a difference between a crime to happen, and or zulm that will happen, and something that has happened. Okay, so of course, we need to take precautions to prevent crimes from happening. We need to take precautions against possible abuse. And Sharia, by the way, Sharia is very advanced in this. There is no other system like Sharia, from this perspective, which is taking precautions against possible crimes, possible immoral activities, possible indecent activities, So if someone were to say, well, I came to know that there is a possible crime, So are you telling me that I should not speak to anyone? First of all, we didn't say that you don't speak to anyone. We said speak to the people who can do something, the people of authority.
Yeah. Yeah? Just because you're prohibited from spreading it on social media doesn't mean you shouldn't speak to the people of authority in charge and who's able to stop that person or
exactly
tell you to go to the police or whatever.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And with this point, I would like to mention that if there is a zulm against anyone, you know that, for example, this person is abusing that person.
Or like children.
Or if there are allegations involving children.
So.
First of all, when you come to know about this, and this is happening, I strongly advise that, of course, maybe there are some legal obligations that you go immediately to the police.
Yeah.
Of course, if there are legal obligations,
safeguarding,
you are you are a civil servant or you are working in certain jobs like a GP or something, you are obliged by law to refer that to the police. We are not talking about that because you cannot break the law and you cannot put yourself in troubles because of that. We are not talking about that case, but let us talk about other cases. You may be heard from someone, that so-and-so, for example, a wife is claiming that her husband is abusing her. First of all, as we said, don't circulate this. Go to the people of authority in your community who know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? If they can verify, if they can talk, if they can do something. We are not saying that, oh, yeah, you just keep quiet and just watch this abuse taking place. Yes? No. Okay? And in many cases, brothers and sisters, we think that this is an abuse, but in reality, okay, we misunderstood things. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And I can tell you so many stories about this possible wrong interpretation of what we see. Okay, so these are some of the guidelines that I'm saying that, generally speaking, yeah, we need to observe them. Maybe I'll conclude by mentioning, because I had a few incidents where people are consulting me that we know that there is a possible. I'll tell you something. One of the brothers, he is a masjid committee member. Yeah, he called me and he said that there was an accusation against one of the teachers. Yeah, that he is doing something immoral or indecent with some of the students. So I said, okay, first of all, let us apply those rulings. Don't circulate this to everyone. Yeah? And number one. Number two, don't immediately believe because there are rumors. Yeah? Number three, when you want to verify, don't verify as what? As head-to-head, so it will be seen as if you are accusing that person. Yeah, it is a personal accusation.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is to find maybe at least two of the dignitaries, of the wise people, yeah,
respected people,
yeah, and they are known to keep such things confidential.
Mm-hmm.
They are not just talking to anyone. They don't talk to their spouses, etc. And then, as a team, go to that person and don't start by accusing him. Yeah, you have done this and that. No, come to him and just say, we heard, yeah, of this and that. And apply what Sharia said, which is what? Verify.
Mm-hmm.
Verify. We heard this. We want to verify what has happened. Yeah? And then come across as not an enemy. Yeah? No, come across as someone who wants khair for him and for the institution.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he has committed something, maybe by mistake, one off. Maybe he repented. Maybe there were circumstances. We are not saying that yani they are innocent and they are mm-hmm. angels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And so, and take it step by step. And maybe ask him to take certain measures to help him to stop that, indecent or that sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Now, if there is an element of zulm, you need to verify with this person. You need to verify with the other person.
The alleged victim.
The victim, yes. Yeah. And if you have the ability to do that, do it. If you don't have the ability to do that with your team, refer it to, there are, alhamdulillah, councils in some Muslim countries who can verify this. We are not talking about here the legal side. If you have to report it by law, you have to report it by law, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have to report it and there is something that can be done before that, do it as we have said. If the person is denying and there are evidences and facts, maybe then you need to take what? Harsh measures.
Mm-hmm.
Now, harsh measures, again, you need to discuss it with people of knowledge. But in the meantime, even if it was proven that this person committed this, yeah, indecent or immoral act, don't expose him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not allowed to expose the person or to talk to everyone. And some people cannot hold, you know, information, cannot hold secrets. They have to talk to everyone about what has happened. They enjoy talking about it. Even some senior people, some even senior imam, they just enjoy talking about this. Mm-hmm. So this is something that these are quick guidelines. By the way, I remember, I like this statement. One brother, we were talking about something like this, and he said that the problem is some Muslims, when, you know, he mentioned this when one of the figures was accused of something. Yeah, he said the problem is some Muslims, when they started to speak about this individual or that individual, they portrayed themselves as angels. Yeah, that no way we will do something like this. How dare this person has done this? I mentioned this before, and I want to stress on it that, brothers and sisters, ask Allah Jalla Ala to protect you from committing sins, because wallahi, you don't know. You might fall in sins worse than the sins that you are accusing or others.
You might be accused by someone.
Or you might be, yes.
And then you'll...
Yes, and then you will be exposed. And then if that happened, you will condemn people, blame people. Why did you circulate this? Why did you speak about this? I have a family, I have children, and everyone was talking about these accusations without verification. Yeah.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I was going to ask you actually for your advice to organizations, you know, like if their employee is accused of something, what do they do? And you gave some, you know, guidelines about, okay, practically how to go about doing that and investigating and so forth. But, you know, some people might think...
You know, one point before, maybe I didn't make it clear. It is very unfortunate that organizations, when one of their employees is accused of something like this, they take one of two extremes. Mm-hmm. Either they endorse the employee irrespective of his mistakes. I'm not talking about, you know, sexual related accusations, but in general accusations. Either they support him fully or they abandon him and shun him immediately. They disassociate themselves from him. Both positions are wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay, he's our employee, especially in da'wah. If he's a person who has been doing da'wah for us, etc., we need to say that, okay, we need to investigate the matter. We don't disassociate ourselves from him. If it was proven that he is guilty of something, still, yeah, he is our brother. You know, in the Quran, when Allah Jalla wa Ala mentioned the insult against Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, or the accusations. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ They thought of themselves. We are one body. We cannot disassociate ourselves from a Muslim brother who is, I am saying, we are not talking about a person who is proud and open about his sins. No. I'm talking about other people. So we should say, okay, he made a mistake, and we will put certain measures in order to prevent this, and we will deal with this matter according to Sharia, as simple as this.
Yeah, but what if somebody says, because look, we have this, we have an example of like the Catholic Church, for example, right? They were allegedly covering up, you know, child abuse and that kind of stuff, and it destroyed their reputation, people don't trust them. You know, as much as they used to. So some people might think, it sounds nice, you know, protecting people's reputation and so forth, but aren't you just protecting predators who might be harming people and abusing children? Yeah. And so people might not feel safe in their masjids, in their organ, in their institutions.
First of all, the statement that is said by someone like this, it means that he is believing in the accusation and making it as a fact. Okay, this is number one.
That's an interesting thing, because I've been quite disappointed seeing some of the reactions of people that they're unable to fathom the difference between a claim and reality.
Yes.
And that's...
So this is number one. We need to differentiate between an accusation and okay, a fact. And even the fact we need to, as I said, we need to validate it according to what? Our Sharia guidelines. Okay? This is number two. Number three, we need to what? See what is the proper Islamic way of dealing with it. Yes? And as I said, both victims and perpetrators, as far as the perpetrator is not proud of this, yeah, and he is not openly, you know, okay, then both of them are our brothers and sisters. The perpetrator will receive his punishment, okay, and the victim needs to receive our support. Yeah, the victim needs to receive our support. But at the end of the day, yes, they are still our brothers. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. Believers are brothers. Allah Jalla wa Ala also says, وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. Reconcile between them if two parties of the believers are fighting. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala also says, فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Yeah, فَإِنْ فَاعَتْ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَأَقْسِطُوا. So, if there is a perpetrator, fight the perpetrator, stop.
If one of them oppresses the other,
stop the oppression, okay, until it comes back to the way of Allah Jalla wa Ala. When it comes back to the way of Allah Jalla wa Ala, this, you know, this, even if you call him criminal, okay, or perpetrator, or is still, he is a Muslim brother. He has rights over us. A crime doesn't drop the rights of a Muslim. Yeah? As far as he is Muslim. And again, he is not proud of his sins and committing them proudly. Okay.
Yeah. So what advice do you give then for, okay, if there's an accusation, do you just, everything business as normal? No one said this.
Now, if there is an accusation, they should investigate the matter.
No. I mean, during the investigation, do you just is for the public, is everything normal, or do you take some measures?
Okay. Temporarily,
suspend the person.
Definitely, there will be measures to be taken. Yeah. It depends on the accusation. If the accusation involves zulm against someone, that has to be stopped immediately. If there are vulnerable people, they have to be protected immediately. We cannot just let that going, okay, under investigation.
Doesn't that mean you believe the allegation then?
No, because now there is a possibility of, as we said, zulm or victims. Mm-hmm. So we need to take measures to stop the injustice or stop the violation of the rights of others. There is...
So like a theoretical preventative... In case it's true, you've got certain things in place to protect vulnerable.
But what I am saying is that be careful of spreading the rumors, be careful of circulating the information, be careful of believing that, be careful of dealing with either of them, the victim or even the person who is accused unjustly. Be careful of going beyond the Sharia limits. And again, we are not talking about if there is a duty of care and you have to report it to the authorities, this is something else. Okay, we are not talking about that.
So in terms of one of the things you mentioned in passing, we said we'd expand on that a bit. You said that the Sharia, one of its genius elements is it prevents things happening in the first place.
Yes.
So looking at these allegations, things like this, what kinds of lessons do you think we should...
Okay, so many lessons to be taken. Okay, but let me start with this. I remember we had the event and we had brothers here, sisters here, and there is a barrier between them. It's not the best because this is the maximum that we can do. Believe me, two brothers who are involved in dawah came to me and they said, Sheikh, why are you putting barriers between brothers and sisters? I said, why? He said, what is the point of that? Still some brothers and sisters, They believe that when we talk about Sharia guidelines, yeah, they say, no, these are not Sharia guidelines. Yeah, and they believe that we are extreme. How many times I have myself, I said, okay, to the teachers, teachers, if you are constantly teaching sisters, maybe one of can be overlooked, but if you are constantly teaching sisters, avoid, yes, intermingling with them as much as you can. I know that as a teacher, you have to speak to them. They will, you know, come to the office. But don't go beyond the minimum. Yeah? And they said, oh, Sheikh, come on. This is too much, too strict, too conservative. I said to some brothers, don't be careful. Your language, your style, when you speak to sisters, you need to be very careful. Yeah? Okay, if it happened once off, etc. Okay? No, don't be too strict.
Don't let it become
the norm. Yes. Don't make it as a norm. Yeah? Even there are certain guidelines. Don't, for example, one of your students, I said to so many brothers, don't teach sisters online.
Online even?
Sorry, I mean Quran. Don't teach, yes, 101. Or even, okay, don't teach sisters whereby they will start reading Quran loudly, yeah, even online, because this will create fitna and they will beautify their voice, yeah. I don't want to get into the technicalities because immediately once we get into the technicalities, they will say, but this scholar said that this is not ikhtilat. This scholar said that it is allowed. This scholar said that the voice of the lady is not awra. Yeah.
Yeah? Can you define ikhtilat?
Yeah. I don't want to define ikhtilat. Okay. Yes, I believe that it is.
Someone might not
okay.
know.
Free mixing. Okay. Uncontrolled mixing between the both genders. I don't want to define it because the minute I define it, I am invoking the technical micro thinking of Sharia. And then immediately the people will think the same way and we will find some people who counter what I have said. And they would say, this scholar said this and that, and they would take it openly. Brothers and sisters, Allah Jalla Ala gave us what? Guidelines, which is what? Yeah? Stopping the fitna.
You know, I thought of you, Sheikh, the other day when I was watching this video about engineers and F1 racing. And the engineers said, we love constraints. Because the worst thing for an engineer is to say, just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
If you give them constraints,
yeah.
He said, we go right up to the edge.
Exactly, right up to the edge because we did not cross.
So like we have like a competition to see how close we can get to the edge while still staying in the legal boundaries of the sport.
That's why I say the guideline is fear Allah, brothers and sisters, and okay, be careful of fitna. And what leads to the fitna as well. How many times, okay, by the way, this is, I know, I will say something that would provoke even especially some people. Yeah, they always accuse men that, oh, men are evil, men are perpetrators, these brothers, these imams, etc. Yeah, now, what about sisters? They are contributing in this. Yeah, some sisters are contributing in this. That's why we say, yes, Allah Jalla wa Ala said, قُلْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Yes? Allah Jalla wa Ala also said to the women, yeah? Allah Jalla wa Ala said, وَلَا يَبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَلَا يَبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا لِبْعُولَتِينَ. They should not display their zina. Yeah, their adornment, anything that beautifies them. Sisters, when we say to sisters, why do you wear makeup in front of brothers? In Islamic courses, sisters wear makeup. Why? And many of our shuyukh, they don't want to say to them anything because they are afraid that sisters will accuse them of something or sisters will not attend. But sisters, please. you are coming to attend an Islamic course. One brother told me that some sisters attending Quran classes wearing makeup. Why? Okay. When we say to sisters, yeah, when you speak to brothers, including the teacher, don't be so feminine. وَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ Allah جَلَّ وَعَلَى said this. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ Don't use a very soft, feminine language. Otherwise, any person who has weakness in his heart, he will...
So everyone has a part to play in...
Everyone has a part to play. Allah جَلَّ وَعَلَى said to sisters, وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِمْ Even the way they walk, they should not walk in a way that will attract, okay, men. We know that men are weak. We know that brothers, including scholars, including imams, they are not angels. Yeah, we are not claiming that our imams are like the priests, they have no desires. That's why when Allah Jalla wa'ala put these guidelines, Sharia guidelines, Allah Jalla wa'ala put them for me, you, the Imam, everyone. Yes? Why people are insisting? You know, one of the courses, one of the brothers, yeah, he attended one of the courses. He said, Wallahi Sheikh, yeah, Wallahi Sheikh, I don't know how people with me and the Shabab are attending the course. We have brothers in front of sisters for 5 days. Yeah? Every day we are looking at them. Maybe in the first day, and this, by the way, in one of the conferences, a brother told me, in one of the courses, he said, in the first day, we were very conservative with sisters. The second day, we were less conservative. The third day, we were eating, drinking, and just, okay. Yeah, laughing with each other. And some of the mashayikh are insisting in workshops to have what? Brothers and sisters discussing the matter. Yeah? Why are we doing all of these things? And then when something happens, then we just go crazy about it. Of course, we know, don't put fire next to fuel. Yeah? Otherwise, this will happen. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, don't look. He said, the first glance is for you, but not the second glance. Yeah? The Prophet ﷺ commanded women to leave before what? Before men. And Allah Jalla wa'ala said, Ya ayyuha nabiyyu qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minina yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihinna wala yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin. They should wear proper, non-attractive clothes. Some sisters are wearing hijab, as many brothers said. Many brothers said their hijab make them more attractive than with no hijab. Yeah? And that's why the scholars have put so many conditions for the hijab. It should not be attractive. It should not be thin. It should not be in a way that will, you know, reflect their bodies, etc., etc. It should not be tight, etc. So why is Sharia putting all these measures? Yeah, let alone seclusion. Yeah. And the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person is secluded with a lady, if a man is sitting in seclusion with a lady, the shaitan will be the third one. And the Prophet ﷺ prohibited men visiting their relatives who are not mahram in the absence of their men. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of these are guidelines. And still, so many brothers who run Islamic organizations, yeah, they are taking this matter lightly. And actually, sometimes they mock us when we tell them that, no, brothers, be careful. We need to observe those guidelines. By the way, many people think that in Islamic conferences, brothers and sisters, they don't look at each other. I attended an Islamic conference. It was not a liberal conference, little bit conservative. It could be better. Mm-hmm. And look, this was 3-4 months ago. And one of the brothers came to me and he said to me, Sheikh, I want a help from you. I said, okay, go ahead. He said, that brother that you know, he is flirting with my sister. Yeah, can you please tell him not to flirt with her? Can you please tell him to stop talking to her? I said, has he done anything? He said, to be honest with you, my sister didn't say anything except that he's coming and making himself nice and just unnecessarily talking to her and asking her questions. Yeah? So I went to that brother and I spoke to him. Another young brother. I was sitting with some young brothers. Imagine, in a conference, in a Muslim conference, yeah, you have non-married brothers, young brothers, even if they are married, but non-married young brothers and non-married young sisters. Are you expecting them to behave like angels? They might out of embarrassment, but many times I see at the end of the day, this man is giggling with that lady. Anyway, in that conference, what happened? I just want to see. So I came to one of the brothers, yeah, young brother. I said, mashallah, how are you? You are not married. He said, no, Sheikh.
He said, I'm yeah. trying.
No, I said to him, Allah yahdik, there are so many sisters here. Why don't you? What did he say? He said, Sheikh, can you see that sister? Yeah. I said, okay. He said, I'm interested in that sister. Yeah. So I said to him, are you attending a conference or are you attending to get married? He said, Sheikh, come on, you just asked me. So I trapped him. Okay. So this is the reality. And still, there are so many people who are denying this reality.
It's important to, some people might think, look, you're overly strict, overly conservative, whatever. But one thing you said years ago, I always tell people, and it's like just looking at the Sharia from a macro perspective, and that is when Allah hates something really a lot, like he declares it as a major sin.
Yeah.
Not only that, but he surrounds it by minor sins. Yeah. Like you can't just accidentally fall into zina. You have to go through so many sins first. But he surrounds that with gray area.
Yes.
Like you don't know, is it, can I sit next to her or can I sit across to her or can you say hello? Or if you're thinking about these things at least, maybe once, you know, a one-off can be overlooked, but at least you're thinking about and you're guarding yourself in the gray area, you're less likely to fall into the sin. Even if you do fall into the sin, you'll realize you're quite far away from your comfort zone.
Yes.
And let alone going into the major sin. So you don't just, like those engineers, you don't just go right up to the boundary.
Yes.
The criteria.
Yeah.
You go way far. You're still in the gray zone.
And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said: "Inna al-halal bayin, wa inna al-haram bayin, wa baynahuma umur mushtabihat." There is this gray zone. It is like the safe zone. Okay. So keep away from it. And the person who is just looking at the technicalities, as you said, he will come to the what? To the edge. When he comes to the edge, he will fall into the haram. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَالرَّعِيَ رَعَى حَوْلَ الْحِمَاءِ يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَقَعَ فِيهِ. It's like the shepherd, one of the sheep will fall into the prohibited zone.
But Sheikh, do you think that sometimes we can be overly, a bit too strict, and then it makes people a bit overly sensitized when they do see some woman, or a woman does see a man, they don't know how to act, and they kind of, you know what I mean? Like overly sensitized to...
Yeah, that can happen, but we need to educate both, brothers and sisters, that yes, you need to be careful, but don't be over-sensitized, as you said. Yeah, don't be over. No, because we mix with the opposite gender everywhere. We need to be careful. But see, the problem is the constant mixing with certain... That is likely leading to the fitna. And, okay, I would like to say one more thing. Brothers and sisters, please, brother or a sister, don't trust yourself with the opposite gender. I'm not saying just be over-sensitized or over-scared, but don't say, no, I am safe. Because the shaitan, as the Prophet ﷺ said, is there all the time and wants to create a fitnah. So don't say, no,
okay. You say people overestimate their ability to restrain themselves.
Exactly, and they over-trust themselves in front of the opposite gender. Even brothers and sisters, if you do that and maybe no one, maybe you are old enough or you don't have that desire or you are doing it, but other people can easily accuse you.
Yeah?
And then you will be what? In a big trouble. Okay? So you don't need to do that. So we need to take these measures in order to protect our organizations, our da'wah, our individuals, our imams, etc.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Took a lot of your time, but hopefully it was very useful to the people watching. So jazakallah khairan for your time. We spoke about what people could do individually, but it was about the general principles of the Sharia in terms of, the etiquettes, what we need to do when we see accusations, and also practically for organizations, what to do, and also if someone's a victim, if they've been or they've seen or witnessed themselves some kind of sin or criminal activity going on, some practical steps for what they can do, and investigations. So within
brothers and sisters, don't forget to make dua for the victims, for the accused people, for yourself. Ask Allah Jalla Ala to protect you from the fitan. May Allah Jalla Ala protect everyone and conceal our mistakes, conceal the mistakes of others.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. And jazakallah khair to you for watching. If you like this podcast, give a like and a share. Normally I would say get involved in the comments, let us know what you think, but be careful when you comment. As the Sheikh said, everything we type is just like things that we say, will be held accountable for it. So let's keep it, let's think before we comment, not just here, but anywhere else about any, accusation and the rights of anyone else. May Allah protect us and you. Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.